Welcome, everyone. This is August 14th, 2022, and we are starting our Sunday lesson. And this is in the sealed book, the Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14. And we are on verse 56. There are five verses left in the book, in the chapter, and also that will bring us to the end of the book. So I just want everyone to know that the vineyard, for me, that this parable, I am so glad that we took the time to go through it verse by verse to understand it. And yesterday I was reflecting on it and understanding more of what line upon line and precept upon precept actually does to us. That when we started this parable, we had a limited understanding of what the vineyard was, who the servants were, what God's purpose was, how the vineyard grew and why the branches had to be grafted. And as we went through this, at least for me, and I certainly hope for everyone, that we gained an understanding beyond the written words on the pages, that our light was brighter. We were given more understanding, that we were able to reflect more on what the Lord wanted us to do. We've learned that we all belong to God, and He has worked so, so hard to give us everything that we need so that we can be successful on this world. And He hasn't given up on us. That He came, He taught us, He grafted the branches back and forth and sent us over the years in many different directions, and the prophets were always there to help us and guide us. And throughout all of that, He took into the account the fact that He had given us free will. It was His gift to us of this free will that He knew was going to lead us down paths that weren't going to be righteous paths. It's like, that's also why we had to have children. That's also why we had to live here, and we had to have relationships and have children. Or if we didn't have children, that we had a family and we watched how children grew and how families grew. Because that taught us how to love. And it taught us that God doesn't ever give up on us. This parable is so close to what our earthly life is, the back and forth of our choices. And I just, it gives me joy to understand that He knew how all of this was going to be, and He was willing to go through this, and more so that Jesus was willing to be our Savior. It had to be someone without sin to come down and complete the atonement. And also to know how loving God is as a father, that he didn't just put us down here and say, okay, here's your free will, go to it, do what you want. He taught us, and He was always there for us. And so this parable, as we come to the end, I think that in these last few verses, it is wonderful to see all of this. So starting with verse 56, who would like to read that one?
I will.
Okay, Lisa, hold on. And then who would like to read 57? Russell.
I can't.
Oh, okay. Russell. So Lisa, if you can read 56, and then Russell, if you will read 57, and then we're going to discuss 56, and then we'll discuss 57, but the two of the thoughts go together, and we still need to do them kind of individually, but we do need to understand both of them together. So go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. And I marked 56 as being the last of that's the end of the allegory explanation. And then Jesus starts talking in 57.
Yes.
Okay. Behold, my workers shall rejoice with me because of the fruit of my vineyard in the last days. Behold, therefore, when the time cometh, when bad fruit shall appear again in my vineyard, that I will separate the good fruit of bad fruit. The good fruit I will keep for myself, but the bad ones I will throw in their own place. And then comes the time and the end, and I will cause my vineyard to be burned with fire.
Russell, you're muted. Thank you.
And now making use of some of the words of Jacob, verily I say unto you, the things that the prophet Zenas said concerning the house of Israel, comparing it to a good olive tree, surely shall come to pass. And on the day when I, the Lord, shall again stretch out my hand a second time to recover my people, it will be the day, yea, the last time, that the servants of the Lord will, with their power, take care of his vineyard and will prune it. And after that, soon the end will come.
Okay. So verse 56. Any comments?
Sister Jeannie?
Yes.
I wondered if Russell might, if he has access to it, if Brother John had some comments on this from video recordings. It might be insightful.
Okay. While he's looking that up.
Russell, you're muted. Are you talking?
Yeah, I'm not really talking. I know. Okay. I'm saying it's just on the website, but I'll go find it.
I've never really been able to.
Can I make a comment? Or?
Yes.
Well, I was just looking at the LES version of the verse 57. And then, sometimes it's a language difference, but it says in the sealed book, it will be the day, yea, the last time that the servants of the Lord will, with their power. So we need a lot of power if we are the servants. He is referring to, and but in the LDS version it says, shall go forth. Yeah, it is in the last day, yea, even the last time that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power.
Okay.
So, in the.
You reading from second, from Jacob?
Jacob 6, verse 2. It's a footnote in 57.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, we did 2. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, it's okay. Well, that was just something that I find interesting.
So we know that the sealed book is giving us more understanding. And as we read in Jacob, if it's saying that we're going to go forth and use his power, we also are learning in the sealed book that we are going with the knowledge that we're given some more power. So we're going to go forth, I believe, that with the knowledge and the power that we've been given. So it could be that that's just both sides of it. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
If I can speak,
The revelation we've been talking about, I've got it here on my screen. It continues this allegory, or the comments. The revelation starts with a comment about this allegory, and I think it, from what Mauricio told me earlier, it would be okay to share it if you wanted me to.
Yes.
All right, I'll see if I can share my screen. Do you see my text?
Jeannie probably has to allow it.
Oh.
Oh, good for Russell that we have him to get us straightened out.
Oh, host disabled participant share screen sharing.
We say, where's screen share? Oh, there. Share screen with share. Uh-oh. That shared mine.
That's.
Oh.
If you just look at the participants, you can click on the participant and enable sharing for him.
Is that your daughter and grandson, Jeannie?
Where?
On the screen, on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so cute.
I just don't see. Oh, great. It's getting worse.
Just click on the participants.
I'm trying to find something.
Yeah, oh, the there.
Oh, okay.
And then click on Robert and enable screen sharing.
Robert
Cackler on the right too.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that. It says make host.
Yeah, we'll make him the host.
All right. Okay, now let's start again. But now try it. I clicked on one that said multiple participants can share. Did that help?
Probably.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, let's maybe make it bigger here. This throws me off every time.
That's good.
Okay. I'm just going to get it a little bigger here.
Mine is not in English.
Below.
I don't know. I'm not getting any.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Okay. Wait a minute. Here we go. Everybody's right over this. There we go. So can you see this part that says answers one, city of Sorriso, where it went?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try to scroll down properly here. Okay, all right. Maybe I can read it, hopefully if you can hear me okay. All right, so this was, again, a group of elders had a meeting with Brother Mauricio concerning the United Order, and this was a response from the Lord just some of the questions. The first question that Mauricio had, there's a city in Brazil that's probably, oh, I don't know, 2,000 miles away, or it's way up in the north, maybe not that far, but it's up in the north central of Brazil in a farming area where they grow rice. Marisa was concerned about why do we need to go up there and try to establish a small farm in that area. And this was the Lord's answer. Let me read it. Here is the word of the Lord to his servants in answers to their questions to obtain more clarity regarding his will concerning his work and the order of Enoch to be erected by the authorities of his church in this present time, which says, I myself have planted thee. I mean, see, it's talking about the allegory right now. I myself had planted thee for an excellent vine in the low parts of my vineyard. A faithful seed, proceeding not from the wild branches of my olive tree, but from the natural branches, by process of restitution of the linear priesthood, hidden in the seed of my servant Joseph, and which had been grafted as a branch of the good olive tree upon the head of my servant Mauricio, by the hands of my servant Joseph Frederick Smith, while all the other keys of my priesthood that had been lost over the years among the Latter-day Saints were again brought down from heaven and restored upon Mauricio Archerberger, for the upper part of my vineyard was impregnated with all sorts of devouring pests among the fruit of my vine. You are therefore the people of the second invitation, those about whom I spoke to my servants, the angels of heaven, to go out in search of such, so that they may take the place of those who were first called to participate in my wedding, who... I guess that's the end of the page. Who were the rich and noble, and now in this second invitation, I am calling all those who would be found in the streets and on the corners, people of good and bad character, the poor and rejected of the nations, to sit down with me and my Father to supper. So that's where I was talking about the vineyard. So this gives some interesting information and confirmation that the allegory that we're reading in the sealed book, we know why it's in there. I mean, it's because the story is continuing. It's being acted out right before our eyes. So I guess I won't comment any further.
Thank you, Brother Bob. That was perfect.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I think at the end of the class, I should be able to send this to Sister Jeannie and she can distribute it to the group.
Wonderful. This is beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing it, Bob.
You're welcome.
And again, it just talks so much about how it's like, you know, the outcasts, it's the people that, you know, the world does not look upon as being, you know, value, you know, it's like,
right.
The first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Yes. Okay. There are several, and I can't think of them right now, references to how the Lord loves everybody. Like I said in the beginning, it's not just the certain ones. It's everybody. And it's verse 9 in, I think it's Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And I could be wrong, but let me just look this up. No, it wasn't that one, but.
And Russell, were you able to find some of the insight from John?
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to figure out how I can share it, because to get the sound of what John's saying, I have to play it on my phone and let my microphone listen to what he's saying. And so anyway, it's a complicated process I'm still working through.
Okay, okay. No problem. I just, okay. Thank you.
Thanks for trying.
Yes.
I'm still working. We're getting there.
You're doing better than I did. I couldn't get that far with it.
Well, the whole parable of the vineyard is definitely that he continues to put forth whatever is needed to help us make the right decisions, even though there is the human nature that we battle every single day. So verse 56, you know, he's saying we're going to rejoice because the fruit is going to be good in those last days. He says also that it's going to be good for a while. And then there will come a time when the bad fruit will appear again. And I'm taking that this is going to be at the end of the millennium. Maybe I'm not right, but he's going to separate then the good fruit and the bad fruit, and the bad he will throw in their place. That's why I'm thinking it's the end of the millennial time, because he's going to throw them. That's a powerful word, not just put, but throw them in their own place.
And yeah, I would like to comment a little bit. I love that, because it's their own choice, their own place. You know, it's not God's place, but it's their place. So the good fruit I will keep for myself, and with the whole glory of the swapping of the branches, which we read earlier. And here is it, their own place. So if I'm pondering this a lot since I read Job with a new perspective, as I told. So Job, sorry, about the richness, you know, the people, they are all busy with themselves. And so if we try to do Jesus' work and serve one another, that will be the fruit which comes from that, he will keep for myself. So that's a part of the glory of the whole thing, I think.
Yeah.
And that's lovely with the throwing beside themselves. They're always busy with themselves. So thank you.
Yeah, I heard someone say the other day that the only ones that were, he didn't say the word good, but the only ones that were pleasing to God were the people in the LDS church. And I wanted to crawl under the rug and think, how could you be so arrogant to think that that was all that God had extended his atonement to? But it's hard to talk to people who are just have that in their heart, who they think. So
I think it's very interesting to look at D&C 10, where it talks about, this is in 1828, and the Lord is talking to Joseph about his church that's already there, and it also talks about, let me pull it up, I'm sorry. He says, for this cause have I said, if this generation harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. Now I do not say this to destroy my church. See, there's already a church. And down in verse 67, he said that, behold, this is my doctrine. Whosoever repenteth and cometh unto me, the same is my church. Whosoever declareth more or less than this, the same is not of me, but is against me. Therefore, he's not of my church. So the LDS are confused about who the church is.
Yeah. And they have blindfolders on.
Yeah, but if they just look at their own Doctrine and Covenants 10, it kind of makes it clear.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Good reference.
How about verse 57? Let's look at that some more. And this is from the words of Jacob. Any thoughts on this? So the second time, is that because like what Brother Bob read, this is the second group of people that are invited. The first group were too arrogant and haughty to accept going to the wedding.
No, I think so. I think if the first group were still living, the invitation would extend to them if they would have a change in heart. But this is the focus has changed.
Certainly, the focus, exactly.
And it's also interesting. Yeah, go. Sorry.
Go ahead.
With their power and of the and the last of the servants of the God will. You know, I love that the hope is in there, the strength is in there.
Right.
With their power, so there must be some power restored. Take care and prune it. We'll prune it. And after that, so there is an enormous buildup of power before the end will come. So I'm really, pondering a lot about the this empowerment. Trying to pray loud, an octave higher now. I always like was doing with a, you know, the small voice.
Right.
But people, but I when I wanted to pray with my, when I was on the road with my band, there were people not a believer, but I always asked, do you mind if I say a prayer for everyone? And then I had to get used to a little louder voice of myself praying. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it has to do with this holding back and empowerment of the names of God, also in how we address Him. So that's just a thought.
That's a good thought. We don't need to be afraid of the Lord. We need to have strength in our voice when we talk. Steve, I saw you say something.
I don't know. I may be out in left field, but I have a tendency to kind of try to keep big picture in front of me because I get confused with the details sometimes. But when we started in this in chapter 14, and I'm thinking about the purpose of this story at this time that he wanted to include in the Acts of Three Nephites for a specific reason. Now, if we go back there and read that, and I was just doing this, if I can share it, in chapter 14, starting off on page 182, for it is necessary that this simple truth related to your feelings remain a sacred secret from the generation to generation, so that only in the final part of the fullness of times this may come in its purity and perfection without ever having been distorted under the precepts of men. And then it goes on to talk about happy, therefore, are your eyes, for they watch, and your ears, for they hear. The reading of these words of mine unravel the great mystery that was hidden from all the times predetermined by me and my Father, since before the foundation of the world, to be revealed to my humble followers only when the workers of my vineyard are ready to do the work in the field abandoned by the earliest workers. And for the purpose of restoring the gifts of God proceeding from his name, among those who take upon themselves the name of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, fast forward, and you think about us sitting here reading this today. Well, This is information, most of which has come out since the church fell into apostasy in terms of the laws of consecration and condemnation, all the things that have happened. And we're looking back, and they have an opportunity to see this too. Mm-hmm. And look at this and wonder about whom are they talking to and where do I stand? And I guess the thing I was getting out of this is a great call, another call, a righteous plea, perhaps, to come. Mauricio also had, he made a few statements 2 or 3 years ago whenever I was first around, and that stuck in my head because he had had them in Revelation. One of them was that the LDS church and the second invitation would come together in 20 years. And I think it was 3 years ago. I think my internal clock on that 17 years. And I don't know how they're going to be driven or they're going to be led or they're going to be awakened or brought down in affliction. I don't know any of that, but I have to tell you, I've thought about that 1,000 times about how I can play a part in helping them. But I hear Balky today, and it moved my heart. Standing firm and pronounce the truth. Sooner or later, all this will be revealed. But it is powerful, and I can't help but to wonder, what else do I not fully understand? Because it's amazing. Every day, it's amazing. Something else, a little piece here, a little piece there. An awareness here. I guess I have a little bit of a, I want to know it all now kind of gene in there somewhere. But I just wanted to share that because to me, it looks like there is a design here that knew all this was coming and is working around it only to help everyone and make a final call.
Yeah.
Sorry for getting out on the tangent.
Well, can I tack on to that?
Sure.
Sister Janie, is that okay? The spirit's strong here today. I hope you all feel it. There's power in the Word of God. One of the things to confirm what Brother Steve just shared, one of the things that's been going on down here is some litigation between the LDS Church and the Second Invitation. And one of them was over the use of the name Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And, of course, we know that's reserved by the LDS Church. But there still is... our scriptures say to use that name. And Mauricio said, well, you know, he's not going to pursue it in the legal avenues anymore because of just what Steve said. He said, Moroni, I think he calls him Moroni, said again, in a few years or 20 years or whenever it is, it's less than that now, that the branches of the restoration will come together where the fir and the box and the pine will be established as one, and it's not worth it. He said, in the end, it's all going to come together, and so he's not going to waste time and energy or use time and energy to pursue the use of the name of the church because in a short time, that name will be available to use for as the church unifies.
That makes sense. Yes. Let me just...
What a good idea. After my experience in the church, you know, and thinking about it, it's... Yeah, we know that are some things are off in the LDS church, and but I'm getting more and more out of that
bitter zone feelings.
To point it out, you know? Yeah, this is not good, that's not good, this is not good.
Right.
It's all good.
That's the old way of our own feelings.
Yes.
I begin to feel now.
Yeah.
and the peace and the power that comes through the new meditation.
And you can't help but smile, and then people think, what's going on with these people, you know?
And that's also a strong impression I had maybe to share. We had on the news here that children don't feel that they can make a call.
They don't feel comfortable calling people.
They like to app, but not making call. And the consequence of that is that they don't tell a story. You know, and if they tell a story, it's monotonic, like uncertain, not with a lot of panache or drama. And this is probably what we have to learn to use in with the spirit in a powerful way, because we have the story. They don't have the story. We have the story. We are the story. We are testifying of these eternal truths. And the Lord wants to bless us if we only pull open our mouth and sometimes at the good timing with the right feelings. So they're so fast, people are attacks. Yeah. So this is good that you emphasize, Steve. Thank you. That we, it's going to happen. It's only we are holding back in our vision. So we should include much more in finding the right tone, working with the spirit to and keep on inviting, you know. I think this is also part of the whole plan, the follow up, and then ask again and again.
Yeah.
And again. So
can we take a minute to welcome the sister that just joined us?
Hello.
I'm Dee Dee Azimi. This is the first time I've been able to join.
From Alaska.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't been on. I was certainly agreeing with the first gentleman that was talking about the fir and the pine and the, I forget the other one. But yes, I think we'll all be joining together, and that the name won't be a big issue. So, but
can I just can I just make a comment quick? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome. So you're in Alaska.
Yes.
That's wonderful. I just wanted to. I'm sorry. I'm emotional. Just really feeling the spirit today. And Steve and Bob, I want to thank you so much for your comments, because that's been an answer to my prayer so much. As I mentioned, I had a family reunion yesterday, and literally all of my family on both sides are members of the LDS Church. I mean, all of them. And they're wonderful people. They're wonderful people. And I have just been trying to come to some kind of like understanding of how this is all going to work out. Because I know their hearts were pure and they're good. And just what you said, Steve, I'm just trying to understand how and what my role is. And I've been inspired and humbled. And when I was in California, I went to church there. And it was interesting to see all the people, and they were so loving and welcoming. And I was hoping to do the same as Valkia and go to the discussion, you know, that section where everyone can like make comments, the discussion section, but they had a combined meeting, and the whole meeting with everyone was about missionary work, which is great because they do a really good job at that. And they're still flooding the earth with the Book of Mormon. And so But I was able to meet one man that I shared the sealed book with, and he was very open, and he was very excited, and just, and we've been in touch several times, and so I just think it's little by little, one by one, you know, it's all going to come together. So just thank you for your insight today. It's really, really helped me. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Yes, there's Dee Dee. Oh, this has just been wonderful. I want to share chapter 28 in Isaiah, verse 9. It says, whom shall I teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then the answer was, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And I believe that, because the very next verse, 10, you know, talks about how we learn line upon line and precept upon precept. I really feel there are a lot of people that are just stuck in, I go to church, you give me the line, you give me the precept, there I am. And automatically I'm going to just move forward. But this verse before it says, them that are weaned from the milk. And we kind of think of line upon line as like the milk, the easy stuff. And so it says weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Those that are over that being accepting somebody else's teachings and wanting to learn for ourselves, wanting to build this relationship with God. Those are the ones that he can increase our knowledge with. And if we just take that excitement, because I just get excited when something, well, a light bulb goes off in my head. And if we take that excitement and that's it, Harm. Go to the church and go to these classes and just be excited about knowing God and having a relationship and sharing feelings. We don't even make them curious about us. Why are you so happy? And it might have taken me a while to get to that happy spot. But I think that's a way that we can just get people to come up to us. And Suzanne, they are wonderful people. I went with my friend to a cookout with the church here in El Paso. And I just sat there and I thought, they're so loving towards each other. But they got to know the next step. And the bishop was so nice and everybody loved him, but still they're not wanting to go further. And that's maybe what we got to get them excited about. That's my comment. Anybody else really quick? And then we're going to have to finish.
I'd like to refer to that verse in Isaiah. There's two verses in Isaiah about the trees. The one in chapter 60, verse 13, if I could read it. The glory of Lebanon shall come upon the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious.
Yep. It will happen.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And just one more small comment. I read something about the Strangites this week, and they had a scripture thing about bushes, that you should plant bushes for older people and young people to play. So the whole shadow thing, also with the lesson yesterday, which ended with the sunshine and, you know, is for everybody, but the shadow in the bright light, that is for the special people. Special protection. And I thought it was so beautiful. So I just wanted to make a quick, the bushes, you know, the shadow, the trees, the how I'm so happy when I see a tree when I'm in this car without air conditioning. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you guys, everyone, for bringing
I've been unable to get John's words. I got him transferred files. It's another thing, and one phone after the other, but nothing. It doesn't seem to work for me. So, sorry.
Okay. Thank you for trying.
We'll continue. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. Thank you for all your participation. And next week we will finish the last three verses. So hold on, let me stop this.